Well, I'm glad to be here today, and I'm glad you're here too. If you would please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Remember, the Israelites have just been brought out of Egypt by the Lord's mighty hand. He's delivered them. And now, at the end of chapter 13, we read that the Lord himself went ahead of them to guide them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So there was no mistaking where God was or what they were to do. Exodus chapter 14, this is God's word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us up out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. Pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them and against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. Yeah, it's a bad day when the wheels come off. I have a cousin who, as the story was told to me, saved up his money and bought a Porsche. I'm not sure all the details of this story are precisely correct, but I'll tell you the story as it was told to me. He didn't buy the most expensive Porsche. He bought the Porsche he could afford. It was not only used, but it wasn't one of the best Porsches ever made. But it was a Porsche, and it said so right on it. And it sounded really cool, and it looked pretty cool, and he was thrilled to have it. He took his buddy for a ride, and as they rode down the road together, thinking about all the girls who would be attracted by this new piece of mechanical magnetism, as they drove along, they encountered a problem. And the problem was that there was a wheel that went rolling past them. And they thought, what poor sucker lost that? And just then the car lurched to the side. It was their wheel. Ouch. Not a real chick magnet. Just picture that. When the wheel comes off, you've got a problem. That's worse than a flat tire. Okay? This is a serious problem. The Egyptians faced just such a problem because God made the wheels come off. Have you ever felt like God was making the wheels come off for you? I think it's been 4 weeks since I've been able to be here with you. Weather, travel, sickness, and then your spring break? Good heavens. I think it's been 4 weeks. I feel like the wheels are coming off. I've still got laryngitis. There are times when it just seems that everything is working against you. And it's rather discouraging. But let me tell you, it wasn't just the Egyptians who felt that way in this story. The Israelites had finally been delivered by God from slavery. And God is now personally displaying His glory as He leads them through the desert. But if you look at the beginning of this chapter, and this is very, very, very important, God led His people in a winding path that made outsiders think they are wandering around without direction, hemmed in by the desert. In other words, onlookers, not understanding that his people were following him, would look at what was going on and say, they're lost. They don't have any direction. Their path makes it very clear that they are lost. They weren't lost. They were led. They were led by God. They were led by God in a more visible and precise and unmistakable way than most of us have experienced in our daily lives. If people wanted to know where is the presence of God, they didn't have to kind of say, it was there. It was evident. Everybody could see it. Hundreds of thousands of people could look and see the manifestation of God's glory. By day, he provided them with shade. By night, he provided them with light and warmth. It can get chilly in the desert. Absolutely amazing manifestation of God's glorious presence, and God is leading them step by step in a path that makes it look like they're lost. Now, why would God do that? Well, because God had a plan. God had a bigger plan. God had a detailed plan. And his people would not have signed on. Because after leading them and directing them in this path that made onlookers think they're lost, God was also at work doing something in Pharaoh's heart. Hardening it. That's what it says. The Lord said, I will harden his heart. And then the Lord hardened his heart. Because God always does what he says he's going to do. And Pharaoh's hard heart became the opportunity for a further display of God's glory. Wouldn't you think, after what the Egyptians had just suffered, that Pharaoh and the officials would have said, we don't want to go near those guys. We don't want to tangle with them. God is clearly working on their behalf. But no, it is amazing. It is amazing how insane people can be in their opposition to God. We are seeing examples in our culture today of people's moral insanity. There is a case that is hitting the courts in England right now of a woman who is suing for defamation of character. And the basis of her lawsuit, the grounds on which she's suing, is because her former boyfriend is claiming that she lied when she wrote a book saying she was a prostitute. So this, as best we can tell, is the first time that the courts will ever hear a case from a woman who is claiming defamation of character because somebody said she wasn't a hooker. You understand this? Just process that for a moment. She says, I was too a hooker. Now, how did we get into this situation in Western civilization? Well, it's because if you look at the various people in this situation, all of them are concerned about financial compensation. They worship mammon. And when you worship mammon, then everything's turned on its head. And all of a sudden, whether a person is sexually immoral or engaging in all kinds of other misconduct, that really doesn't matter so much. What really matters is, are there financial consequences? Because what our culture tends to worship is mammon. And Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. The Egyptians are not entirely unlike contemporary citizens of planet Earth. Despite having seen in a painful, excruciatingly painful way that there is a God and that they should leave the Israelites alone, they go after the Israelites. That's what God said they do. They're coming back for another round. Now, if you're the Israelites, this is not good news. Because you're trying to get away from the Egyptians. But you're on this path in the desert and you're saying, hey, didn't we see that patch of sand before? I feel like we're going in a circle. What's happening here? Wait a minute. If we keep making left turns, aren't we just going to keep going in a circle? I don't get it. Well, God had a plan. And the plan was we've got to let the Egyptians catch up. And so now the Israelites, early in the chapter, look up and there are the Egyptians. What is that? What, are those antelope? No. It's horses and chariots. I think those are Egyptians, Mama. Yep. I'd recognize those chariots anywhere. So now you got the Egyptian army breathing down your neck, and what do you got before you? Well, God has led you to a beautiful view of the water. And it's not a pond. It's not a lake or a river. It is the Red Sea. You're looking at something that is impossible for us to get across. We don't have boats. We don't have anything to build boats with. You sure can't swim across there. What are we going to do? And the Israelites jump to the wrong conclusion, and that is, you brought us out here to kill us. We're all going to die. Now let me tell you something that will diffuse that a little bit if you can keep it in mind. Okay? Next time you think, oh no, we're all going to die, realize we're all going to die. Okay? By God's grace, I realized that early in my life. And so on several occasions when I've been in car crashes and other things, I didn't think, oh no, I'm going to die. I thought, so this is how it is. It's like, oh, I didn't know I was going to die like this. But I know I'm going to die. And I'm not afraid to die. Because I know that's not the end. But so far, every time that I thought, so this is how I'm going to die, I was wrong. As you can see. And the Israelites also were wrong when they thought God had brought them out into the desert just so that they could die there instead of in Egypt. God had actually brought them out for the glory of His name. And He was about to display His glory once again. So the people are all crying out, and Moses makes a stirring speech. I think this is great stuff. Churchill couldn't do this. Listen. Verse 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." There are at least two quotes in that short paragraph that would make excellent bumper stickers, marvelous bookmarks, wonderful cards for a promise box. Okay? At least two. First is, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. That's two quotes right there. Okay? And then the third one, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Isn't that great? I love that. But that's not what he was saying on the inside. Okay? On the outside, he's saying, don't be afraid. Be calm. Everything's fine. Just stay still. And on the inside, he's saying, God, help! Now, we know that because of what comes next. The Lord says to him, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. That's contrary to that stirring speech Moses just gave. Moses says, all you have to do is stay still. God says, no, you need to move on. Now, why would Moses say, stay still? Because there's a body of water here. What God is asking them to do is the impossible. How are we going to get across there? God says, I can do the impossible. I can enable you to do the impossible. All you have to do is trust and obey. And so that night, God puts a wall of separation between the Egyptian army and the Israelite people. And to the Israelites, it was light. And to the Egyptians, it was darkness. The gospel is foolishness to many people. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. Other people look and say, don't be ridiculous. We look and say, don't be a fool. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. There's not a plan B. There aren't a bunch of paths to God. He is the only way. And in a pluralistic society that claims to exalt diversity, that is the one view that cannot be tolerated. But it's still true. He is the only way. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, the Lord says, move on. Stretch out your staff over the water. And God sends a wind and pushes back the water and piles it up into a wall of water on either side and dry land in the middle. You talk about amazing. Have you been to the aquarium in Gatlinburg and walked through the glass tube with sharks swimming overhead? That's really cool, isn't it? I think it's really cool. Can't compare to this. Cannot compare to this. Families, hundreds of thousands of people marching on dry land, water walled up on either side. This is great. We're getting away. God's holding the Egyptians back. We can't see the Egyptians right now because the Lord has put His presence separating us, and there's nobody able to get from one side to the other. Oh, this is absolutely fantastic. And as we're getting over to the other side, God says, okay, I'm going to let the Egyptians come after you now. Why would you do that? Oh, I've got more to my plan. I wouldn't have done that. I would have kept them back there. And then when we get to the other side, put the water back down, then we raise the cloud up. And the Egyptians can stand on the shore and say, how did they get over there? I think that would be really a cool PG version. God says, no, we're going for the R version here. Okay? God raises his presence and allows the Egyptians to pursue. Now the Egyptians with their chariots are chasing the Israelites who don't have chariots. Ooh, the Egyptians can move faster until God says, the Egyptians are going a little fast. I'm going to slow them down a bit. Let's make their wheels come off. And suddenly, it's like a fail video. Okay? The wheels are coming off the chariots. The chariots are turning sideways. The horses are falling over. The Egyptians are falling out of chariots. It's all getting confused. People are piling up on top of each other. It is a disaster for the Egyptians. And you know what? They begin to say, we need to get out of here. Now you got an army with the wheels off the chariots trying to get turned around and go back the other way with walls of water on either side. There is total confusion and chaos for God's enemies. And God says, and now it's time for the water to go back in place. And when God says so, the walls of water come crashing in. And pretty soon, the Israelites are seeing the bodies of the Egyptian army washing up on shore. Some people read this and they say, well, what kind of God would kill all those Egyptians? I'd like to answer that question. The God that you and I are going to have to face, that's who. That's who. What kind of God would kill all these folks? The kind of God who promises that his enemies will be thrown into the lake of fire, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the kind of God. He's the only God there is who's really God. He is the creator of all things. And if we don't understand that he is a God of wrath, then we will never understand that he sent his son to save us by dying on a cross to take the punishment we deserve. Jesus' death on the cross makes no sense. It makes no sense were it not for the fact that you and I deserve God's wrath. But this God, who destroyed the Egyptian army, saved the Israelites. And guess what happens to the Israelites? Well, we're going to read more, but they messed up badly. And most of them, almost all of them, would indeed end up dying in the desert over the span of the next 40 years. Not most of them in such a dramatic way, but nevertheless, as a warning to us not to fail to enter into what God promises for those who trust and obey. Folks, we need to understand that unless God saves us, we're toast. We need to cry out to God for mercy. We need to ask Him to forgive our sins and to change us and save us. Because if God does not save us, we are lost. We are lost. If you think that somehow you're kind of wavering, you're thinking about giving your life to God, but you know, you're not sure because after all, that could really mess with your game plan. Now, if you can work out a deal with God where pretty much you get to do what you want to do and God gets what He wants, which is a really shining representative, I can tell you right now, your place is in the lake of fire if you stay on that path. But if you realize, I have sinned against a holy God. I have done wrong. I deserve death. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can promise you, God hears that prayer. God offers forgiveness and cleansing and life and joy and peace to those who trust in Him. But do not trust yourself. Do not trust your best efforts. Trust in Him. Trust in His mercy and His grace. He offers you life, real life, abundant life. But it's only in Him. He is the creator of all things. He is the ruler of all things. He is the judge of all things. And we cannot rewrite reality and then bring it to pass. We better come to terms with the God who is God. And this is the God who is God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the true story of your deliverance, judgment upon your enemies, and mercy to those you chose to save. We thank you and praise you and ask that you would display your mercy and grace in and through us. And we will be careful to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.